We're coming through Governor Tony Evers' first budget blueprint here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. He unveiled it in a primetime speech last night.
The Wisconsinites can come to a room armed with different ideas, to listen to each other and compromise on solutions. Then we should be able to do that right here in this building.
The biennial budget begins July 1st, but if the legislature hasn't passed a new budget by then, the old one remains in effect. Did you hear the governor's address last night? What is your reaction? What policies can you get behind? And what initiatives fall short in your view? What is the likelihood these proposals will get greenlit in the legislature? Let's talk it out at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So take us to the Capitol last night and what this looks like, how this budget address rolls out.
What happens is that pieces of the budget address start getting shared throughout the day, you know, under embargo. And so you're starting to piece together parts of the budget as the day goes on. The governor meets in the assembly chambers. He speaks to the full legislature. It's, you know, for Governor Evers, the biggest moment of his governorship so far. For Democratic lawmakers, a time of celebration. I mean, they were really cheering for some of this stuff, very much into some of the stuff that Evers was rolling out. And there was a lot. For Republicans who have gotten used to a Republican governor over 8 years and having things their way, it was not a time of celebration. I mean, you didn't see much clapping at all from that side of the aisle last night. So how you viewed that budget speech depended on, you know, where you were in that chamber.
So we're going to dig into these budget priorities here, but we've seen over the last few weeks kind of this crumb trail of proposals coming out. What were some of the biggest takeaways from last night's address as you saw all of these priorities converge into one night?
The biggest takeaways for me was were that there was more, that even with all these crumbs that had kind of led up to the address, I was like overwhelmed, I guess, with how much more we learned just yesterday. Some of it made it into the speech, but a lot of it was not. It's in this document that the governor's office puts out with every budget, a budget in brief, and they just list, you know, everything, kind of their summary of the budget at length. I mean, there's a lot in there that you know, Governor Evers didn't even mention last night. He would repeal Wisconsin's right to work law, for example. Okay, this is a kind of a sea change in labor law in Wisconsin. Republicans passed it in 2015. He would repeal most of the lame duck session laws that Republicans passed last year. You remember we talked a little bit about that. So there's quite a bit that is in this budget that people haven't even really heard about, Les.
Did, you know, shortly after beginning his speech, Governor Evers introduced his budget by showing a video. What did we see in this video, and what point was the governor trying to make with showing this video?
I think that the governor's point on his budget over and over again is that it's a budget of the people, is the message that he wants to drill home. So if you're listening to the parties and what's their one takeaway, I think you're going to hear Republicans say, we're going to craft a budget for the taxpayers. And Evers is coming out there and framing this as a budget of the people. This is what the people want. He points to elements of it that have big public support in the Marquette poll, for example. He put something in there about a nonpartisan redistricting commission that polls pretty well. Issues like that. So he's saying that the people are on my side in this budget. That's why I'm introducing it.
Republicans control the Senate and the Assembly. Did they have a formal response to the governor's budget address? What did we know there?
They liked it very little. I mean, they were very critical of the budget. And you expect that from the opposition party when a governor from a different party is giving a budget address. But I don't know if they could be much more critical of what they heard from the governor last night. And they said that they were, Senator Fitzgerald anyway, the top Republican in the Senate, said they're going to write their own budget.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, from last night.
Certainly disappointed. To me, it's a 1,000-page press release, not a budget. A lot of the items that the governor ticked off I think were kind of the greatest hits of the Democrat Party.
A 1,000-page press release, greatest hits of the Democratic Party.
He's not saying much there that gives you an indication that Republicans are going to support it. In fact, he said that as he watched the speech, he was thinking, you know, there's no way, there's members of my caucus, that there's no way they're going to support any of this stuff. So what does that mean? It means, according to Fitzgerald, that they're going to kind of start anew. And as this process goes to the legislature, a lot of the stuff that the governor used to build his budget will be gone, and Republicans will have a much more pared back document that they want to send to the governor's desk.
Talking with Sean Johnson, he is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, talking about last night's budget rollout by Governor Tony Evers. Did you hear the governor's address? What was your reaction? Are you pleased with some of the policies he's proposed? Are you displeased with some of the governor's budget priorities? And what about the price tag? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean, we've heard a little bit of the Republican response. What about Democrats in the state capitol? Are they showing support for what they see here?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a whole lot in there for them that they like. I mean, I compare this budget to some of the early budgets or the first budget for former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. And Tony Evers is coming into a Republican-controlled legislature. Jim Doyle came into a Republican-controlled legislature. Doyle took a different approach. I mean, he was saying no new taxes. He had kind of Republicans still attacked his budget, but it was closer to kind of their worldview than what you heard from Evers last night, where Evers just said, here's everything that I want. And if Republicans are going to make changes to the budget anyway, he basically put everything that he wanted in that budget, from policy to a variety of new revenue increases on capital gains, on manufacturers. There's just so much in that budget, a very different approach from this Democratic governor as opposed to the last.
There was news a few weeks ago that Republicans were going to write their own budget and work with the governor to compromise from there. Essentially, can you do the budget process in reverse? And what would that look like? Is that still on the table?
They can make a lot of changes to the budget, yes. And I mean, the process is you have this budget with a lot of new revenue, new money, which pays for a lot of new things that Governor Evers has sent to Republicans. They have said there's too much new revenue. We're going to take that out. That means they're going to have to take out a lot of the new spending, too. And there's a lot of new spending on public schools, on health care, on roads. And so if they do that, they're going to have to send a much more pared down document. And they can do this through the budget process, kind of vote by vote. They'll send a much more pared down document to the governor's office. He has a very powerful veto pen, but he can't veto money back into the budget, you know, once it gets to his desk in whatever month, July, August, whenever it happens. So at that point, we'll be asking the question of whether he's going to veto the whole thing and we start anew and have an actual negotiation, or if he just kind of accepts what they've sent him with changes.
We're with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson going through the specifics of Governor Evers' budget proposal that he laid out last night in an address from the Capitol. How would you like the state budget to address transportation funding, address health care policy, or water quality? What do you think about the legislature's idea to draft its own budget instead of building off of the governor's blueprint? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation on the governor's spending plan. Maybe hear from you in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're breaking down the governor's first budget address from last night on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The next step is for Governor Evers' budget to go to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which will hold public hearings all over the state before returning to Madison to begin rewriting, reshaping this plan. The governor last night appealed for working across the aisle.
At times, we let partisanship cloud the opportunity for compromise, and at times we let power be the enemy of the good. So tonight, I want to be clear, this can't be one of those times. We cannot afford to play politics with this budget. Folks, the stakes are really, really high.
This is a months-long process. Did you catch the governor's address last night? What was your takeaway? Are you pleased with some of the policies he's proposed? What about how he's addressing education funding? Were you displeased with specific budget priorities? Let's hear about it at 800-642-1234. You can email your budget reaction to ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson stays with us. Sean, on the issue of transportation, Wisconsin's transportation infrastructure has been a huge topic of debate over the last several years. How to fund transportation has held up even the passage of the budget in the past. So what did Governor Evers propose on transportation?
He proposed a lot on transportation. I mean, this is not, I'm not saying that this will be necessarily what ends up on his desk, but in terms of what a governor has proposed with new revenue for transportation, you haven't seen anything like this in a couple decades. What the governor proposed is an 8-cent increase in the gas tax. So right now, if you take all state gas taxes, Wisconsin's gas tax is 32.9 cents per gallon. This would take it up to 40.9 cents per gallon. Significantly, Evers would also bring back something called gas tax indexing. So in future budgets, what that means is the gas tax would go up automatically to keep pace with inflation. This is something that Wisconsin had from about 1985 to 2006. It regularly increased the gas tax. Lawmakers didn't have to vote on those gas tax increases. So, you know, they generally liked that. It went away in 2006 under Governor Jim Doyle and Republican legislators who felt like it was, you know, a tax increase without taking a vote was something they couldn't support.
Let's go to the phones on this with Tom joining us from Burlington. Good morning, Tom.
Governor Walker ballooned our debt. So we could claim that he didn't raise taxes, but he ballooned our debt, in my opinion. But now with the we have frost heaves and chuck holes in our state because of our weather. They have to be fixed. The hidden cost is car repairs. Your car is being destroyed by these things, and we have to support this thing and be honest that we have to pay for it right away.
So Tom is saying we have to be honest. We really need to cop up more funding here. And it sounds like the gas tax is the way to go.
The gas tax is, it's kind of a reliable revenue source. Cars are getting more fuel efficient, and so it will face challenges into the future. But this is going to, the governor's budget would generate more than $600 million in new revenue over the course of this new budget. One of the things that the administration wanted to note is that a lot of that would go toward reducing borrowing, and the state would borrow about $338 million, I believe, for transportation over the next 2 years, according to the Evers administration. And I haven't had a chance to like check this with the legislature's nonpartisan budget office, but they said that'd be the lowest level of borrowing bonding for transportation in a couple decades.
That's pretty significant, then.
It could be. There's a lot of this stuff in the budget where it's not, I mean, it's, they know that Republicans aren't going to go along. The bonding stuff could be an overture to Republicans if they want to actually pass the transportation bill in this budget. There are other ideas in the transportation budget that Republicans have supported. For example, Evers wants to eliminate the minimum markup law for gas. This is a Depression era law that prevents big retailers from selling gas below cost. So Evers is saying, look, that'll reduce the price of gas, so you won't actually feel the gas tax increase. So there were some Republicans last night who were saying that's a gimmick. However, this is an idea that several Republican lawmakers signed on to just 2 years ago. So some of them think so it's okay.
Let's go to Rich now, joining us from Rhinelander. Rich, hi. What did you hear in this budget?
I listened, and I will say this. If Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio can figure out how to pay for their roads, their transportation, so they're in a more competitive position than we are, I think we definitely need to work together. I'm not necessarily saying what Tony Evers proposed, and I don't think he was saying that either, is the only way to go. But But I think we do have to sit down and figure out why Wisconsin roads are in such desperate condition, because they are. And anyone who drives north and south, as I do, usually a couple times or maybe four times a month, we need to figure that out.
Rich, what did you hear there on the gas tax or another option on the table for figuring out the funding for transportation? What strikes you?
I'm not even some people are going to say that Tony Evers is proposing something that's radical. I'm not even against toll roads in Wisconsin, quite frankly, because we are a tourist state, and every summer, including spring, summer, and fall, we have an influx of people who are not residents in Wisconsin who drive our roads. And I think there are lots of ways to increase the funding for transportation. They simply have to be explored.
Rich, thanks for the call. And tolling has come up and surfaced in recent weeks.
Tolling is something that Senator Fitzgerald and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have said they would support. It's not in the governor's budget. I mean, Evers' budget includes a lot of ideas for new revenue for transportation. There's also a higher fee on heavy trucks in the Evers' budget that we didn't mention. Tolling's not there. Evers' transportation secretary or his secretary designee, Craig Thompson, has said that's something we'd be willing to look at if Republicans wanted to put it in there. Haven't gotten to that step yet.
And their 34-member task force is still together?
I'm not sure about that. I think that was kind of a short-lived task force.
Okay.
The idea was we're going to come up with ideas for transportation. Tony Evers' ideas are now out on the table here.
So when you look at transportation, how do you see it trickling down to the community level? What does this look like for funding for local roads, for people getting out onto their local communities?
I've got to dive into that a little bit more in terms of what it would do for local road aids, state road aids. I know the governor has said, I want to prioritize fixing our own roads and local road aids before we do other stuff. He also, it's not exactly road funding, but he includes new funding for local governments in there for the first time in a long time, you know, state aid for local governments. So he definitely has that kind of, local governments have his ear, I think it's safe to say. How that compares with, you know, what they need in terms of road funding, because you do have like town governments ripping up paved roads and turning them into gravel in some parts of Wisconsin. You know, how what he's supplying compares with the needs, I'm just not sure yet.
Let's go to Chris now in Adams. Chris, hi.
Good morning. I have spoken to both the Office of the Governor and the Office of the State Treasurer in the past 2 weeks about a situation that I'm involved in, and they have been very, very customer-friendly and helpful. The Office of the Governor, his assistant, talked to me for over an hour. She immediately got on the phone and talked to the other state agencies' lawyers who are getting back to me, and the Office of the Treasurer was equally generous in time and understanding. I would just like people to know that they can call and make their voices heard. And what Governor Evers said, that this is a government for the people, is absolutely true. They are listening to us. And so people should go out. If you have a concern about something, just call.
Chris, thanks for your call. And Sean, it sounds like Chris at least has found very much access to people when she places a call. And his theme around his whole budget has been about people.
It has. And I also noted she mentioned the treasurer there. So the treasurer in Wisconsin does not really have a lot of assigned duties. I did hear Evers, though, say he wants the treasurer to oversee this a commission, task force, something like that, to look at student loan debt. So I think the state treasurer, Sarah Godlewski, is somebody that Democrats have kind of wanted to highlight. Even though the office doesn't do too much, you see them putting her in more of a prominent role.
And she was just recently on this program as well, looking to give the treasurer's office more role, more responsibilities, and really even digging in into, you know, what is the exact role of the treasurer that was almost eliminated.
Right.
So, one quick before we go to a break here, looking at broadband internet connection, what did we learn there?
Again, a sizable investment from the governor there. He wants to spend, $78 million. on broadband over the next couple of years. That's roughly a $50 million investment for broadband grants. That, I mean, that's real money. And again, this is one of these things where Evers' budget is built on pretty big revenue increases on manufacturers, on capital gains, taking the federal Medicaid money. If those things start to go away, I think they'll point to stuff like broadband and say, hey, this is what could be at risk if you don't do these tax increases.
Talking about Governor Tony Evers' budget address last night with WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson walking us through what we learned. You as well, 800-642-1234. What did you learn from the budget address? Up next, it's news, and we'll continue this conversation with a closer look at the budgeting process and the fiscal health of Wisconsin. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the governor's two-year budget proposal for Wisconsin. That's a blueprint he laid out last night in an address from the Capitol. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So now the budget heads to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which will hold these public hearings around the state, and then lawmakers, they go line by line rewriting it. What do you want to know about this roughly $83.5 billion spending plan? Do you like the budgets former Governor Walker and the legislature passed? What elements do you think the Evers administration should continue? We're at 800-642-1234. WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson stays with us. And now let's bring in a new voice to the conversation, John Covari. He is an associate professor of political science at UW La Crosse. And he joins us from our WPR studios there. He's an expert in local government, public budgeting, and economic development. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So before we dig into more of the specifics of what the governor proposed last night, can we zoom out a bit with you? How does the state budgeting process work generally?
Sure. Well, the budget process for the next or the budget for the next 2 years actually started last summer. So basically, Governor Walker over the summer issued some directions or instructions to agencies to submit their requests. Those agencies developed those budget requests and submitted them both to the legislature and the governor's office. After the new governor was inaugurated, starts crunching all of those budget requests together with the budget office and puts together some new revenue estimates. So there's kind of a really quick snapshot about where spending is and where revenue is. The governor is required to prepare or deliver an executive budget proposal, say like early February by state law. And so this is where we're at. What comes next? As you said, this budget proposal heads to the Joint Finance Committee, which is gonna hold some public hearings all across the state. And during this time, this is kind of the pivotal time that the Legislative Fiscal Bureau is going to prepare budget summaries based on the governor's proposal. These Legislative Fiscal Bureau budget summaries are going to detail all of the proposals and lay it out for members of the Joint Finance Committee, the 16-member Joint Finance Committee, and offer some alternatives for them to vote on. And the voting for that actually starts in May. So right now, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau is going to be really, really busy.
Well, this budget spending plan, $83.5 billion in the blueprint as it stands right now from the governor, it's about a 10% increase from where we're at. What factors contribute to whether we end up with a deficit or a surplus, and really how much to work with in an initial proposal? What number to throw out there?
So this is the tough part, because we have to basically take out the crystal ball and forecast how much we're actually going to collect in taxes over the next 2 years. And it's a complicated process. We actually rely on some outside economists to predict how much new revenue growth there will be over the next couple of years. These estimates are never perfect. There's always, we're always a little bit off, but the modeling has become more and more accurate. So basically, we are hoping that revenue growth will continue kind of at existing levels. So we want income tax revenue to grow because people are making more money, they're getting adjustments to their pay, they're continuing to buy at the same levels, that kind of thing. So if we get those estimates and then we pair them with the agency requests, we can get a really good snapshot about whether or not the state budget is in balance.
Well, let's turn back to the budget here for a moment and look at education, Sean, and let's hear a little bit from the governor and what he announced last night in the Capitol.
Along with that, what's best for our kids is best for our state, and investing in our kids will yield dividends for our future.
That's right.
So we're going to start with K through 12 education, providing historic investments and returning to two-thirds funding at the state level. Yeah.
So education has a lot of components, a lot of working parts to it. And if you could give us some context here, this was a big topic on the campaign trail. How much money is Governor Evers proposing for education?
He is proposing all of the money that former state superintendent of public instruction, Tony Evers, wanted. So Evers would propose budgets for years and sometimes get close to what he wanted, oftentimes not even close. Here, this is the Tony Evers education budget that he kind of envisioned as state superintendent. $1.4 billion is what he promised on the campaign. Actually, if you look at the DPI's budget in here, it's more like $1.6 billion, although the governor's office says some of that's going to are payments that go to voucher schools. There's $600+ million going to special education in Wisconsin. That's a huge increase for special ed. That also affects what schools have available to spend on other students. And schools would be able to increase their local property taxes. In each year of this budget, the revenue limit goes up by about $200 per pupil in each year of the budget. So that's significant and well. They're getting an infusion of state money, and they're able to raise money at the local level, too.
John, how much of the state budget filters into education funding generally? How big of a piece of the pie is it?
Education spending, along with healthcare spending, are the two largest parts of the state budget. So if you look at the Department of Public Instruction budget for the next fiscal year, it's about $7.8 billion. That's and Governor Evers is requesting a 6-7% increase for that first year, and say about a 9% increase for the second year. Believe it or not, I have to do a little more digging into this, but believe it or not, that actually takes the state above the two-thirds funding proposal for local schools. So there might be a little bit of wiggle room there in terms of how much was requested and how much will actually be allocated.
Let's go to Tom now, joining us from Richland County. Tom, hi.
Hey, good morning.
What did you hear out of the budget?
I was totally impressed by his desire not only to be calm and willing to work with people, but he went issue by issue through all the things that we really have been hurt on the last 10, 15 years, and I'm so impressed. I know he's not going to get everything he asked for, but just take some of the most important ones about democracy, is that the idea of having a bipartisan redistricting group get rid of gerrymandering. Right now, something like 60% of the people voted Democratic for the assembly races the last few terms, but only 38% are Democratic seats. Things like that, where it's been rigged in a certain way.
And Tom, what did you...
poverty in the rural areas.
What did you hear out of education that seemed to resonate with you?
Well, my wife's a substitute teacher, and she deals with special ed kids, and the schools in the rural areas have been devastated since Act 10 with the quality of funding, and then so many teachers left, and they've got aides working as teachers. Anything they can do, the tools that were offered in Act 10 have devastated the quality of education in the rural areas.
And
all these things he was talking about are ways to improve this and to try to work across the aisle and make it happen is so vital. And I thought he was just a statesman yesterday.
Sean, you covered Act 10, and this seems now to perhaps go completely a different direction, or not.
Well, I will say this. In this kind of wish list that that Evers put out yesterday. I mean, remember, he would repeal right to work. He would repeal all the lame duck session stuff. He would increase the minimum wage. We could go on and on. We would run out of time. He did not call for a repeal of Act 10 in this budget. So that's not something that would have happened with a Republican-controlled legislature, but I didn't think it was kind of, if you know, only symbolically significant that he didn't go there. But with education in terms of funding, it's very much a huge change from what you saw under Governor Walker. And the special ed funding is significant because schools can try to cut back costs elsewhere, but when they have special ed students, they have to fully fund that special education. And so that can mean special ed costs end up forcing them to cut back their budgets elsewhere. That's why the special ed funding is especially significant, not only for special ed kids, but also for other students.
We are going to move to the topic of healthcare next as we talk with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and political scientist John Kavari about the state budget. Governor Evers announced his priorities last night. How would you like the state budget to address things like healthcare or water quality in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Tweet us WPR Mornings. Sean, Governor Evers campaigned on expanding Medicaid in Wisconsin. He announced he plans to do so last night. What would that change regarding health care in Wisconsin and the bottom line of the budget?
What a full expansion of Medicaid would mean is that right now Wisconsin offers Medicaid to everyone up to 100% of the federal poverty level. And Evers would expand that to effectively 138%. What it means is 82,000 more people, according to the governor's estimates. 82,000 is a little higher than what we've seen elsewhere. They say 82,000 more people would get health care in Wisconsin. And it would free up, according to the governor's office, $320 million in state funding for other expenses. So because the states bring in so much more federal money through the Affordable Care Act, it would have $320 million more in state funding to spend on everything else. So you could make the argument that expansion of Medicaid is paying for schools or broadband or you name it. It's a lot of extra money that's freed up. But 82,000 people, according to the governor's estimates, would get coverage. I think Fiscal Bureau has said something like 76,000. It's a significant number.
And a lot is riding then on that expansion in order to pay for other things.
And this is one where, while there were other things that were announced yesterday or unveiled yesterday that we hadn't heard about before, this is one where we knew Republicans have said this is a non-starter. And so what that means for the rest of the budget, we don't know yet, but it'd be significant.
Talking with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and political scientist John Kavari, we're looking at fiscal policy, current spending levels in Wisconsin, what lawmakers must bear in mind as they weigh each cost in the governor's proposals that were outlined last night. Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring the governor's first budget blueprint here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers' budget proposal costs $83.5 billion. It would increase total spending nearly 10% from Governor Walker's last budget proposal. And we're looking at fiscal spending, financial policy. The governor says he wants a budget that works for everyone. Would this work for you? Why or why not? Call in at 800-642-1234. John Johnson stays with us. He's WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. And we have John Kavari. He's an associate professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. He's an expert in local government, public budgeting, and economic development. Let's go back to the phones now with Vern joining us from DeForest. Vern, what's on your mind about this budget?
Couple of things. It sounds to me like there was an awful lot of policy, at least from what I've heard so far this morning, on the reporting of it. And I know that was something that has always been criticized of governors in the past, that, hey, this is more of a policy paper than a budgetary idea. And, you know, there's an old saying about if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. It goes something like that. The idea of that the state could collect possibly possibly $500 million by raising capital gains taxes. Well, let's go back to the Clinton administration when they raised capital gains taxes. Money from capital gains to the federal treasury actually went down. A person is basically pretty ignorant if they're going to pay higher taxes turning in capital gains. You've already earned or paid your taxes on that sort of on that income, that then you go out and get a capital gain on it, and they want you to pay higher taxes on it. Vern, so the revenue actually went down.
Vern, I want to pause right there on how we tax in terms of whether it's capital gains or whether it's businesses and their corporate incentives on taxation. What do we know there? John, I want to toss it to you first.
So, basically, the federal government provides about a third of the state budget. So we a third of the state budget collects revenue from the feds. About half of the overall state budget comes from general purpose revenue. Now, what is that? That is basically the state's main piggy bank, and that's where all of our individual income taxes, corporate income taxes, those sales taxes, excise taxes on things like tobacco, gasoline, and things like that go. So basically, half of the state budget comes from those individual tax sources. Now, another 15% is generated from program revenue, something that's like state tuition, user fees. So when you go camping at a state park, that's going to go into that pot of money. So we're going to bring in about $18 billion worth of funding through those general purpose revenue sources.
Let's go to Nate now, joining us from Milwaukee. Nate, hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. I like the changes he's doing with redistricting. I think that will be cheaper for the taxpayers in the long term than what the Republicans did under Scott Walker. And on top of that, it'll also bring honest elections when it relates to the state legislature rather than rigged ones, which is certainly an improvement to me.
Sean, what did we hear on the topic of redistricting?
The governor basically put a bill into the budget that would create a nonpartisan redistricting commission. It would have four members, each appointed by the legislative leaders. So you have an even split between Republicans and Democrats. And those people would pick a fifth member to be their chair. They would oversee a redistricting process, and the nonpartisan legislative reference bureau would draw maps for the state. So they would essentially get the first kick at this in drawing district lines, and then they'd have to hold public hearings in all the state's congressional districts, and the legislature would get a chance to vote on those. Now, if the legislature and the governor didn't agree to whatever this nonpartisan commission and the nonpartisan legislative reference bureau drew up, the process could still end in court. So it's not necessarily the end all to the redistricting process. And Republicans have sent pretty strong signs that this is not something that they're going to support. They think it's the legislature's job to do this, they say.
John, do we know how Wisconsin's state budget stacks up against our neighboring states? Is it similar? Do we look at those? Can we draw comparisons?
We can draw comparisons. In fact, there's a survey of state finances that is done every year by a budgeting group. But basically, the findings reveal that Wisconsin is in the middle of the pack. We're average in terms of spending, taxing and spending. Now, we do rely a little bit more on income taxation than other states. Other states kind of rely on sales taxes. And this is a really interesting debate about kind of how we should actually generate revenue. There are places like Florida that doesn't have an income tax because they want to tax tourists, so they have a high sales tax. In Wisconsin, we don't have that sunshine as much, unfortunately, but so we rely more on the income tax.
Let's take one more call here with Timothy in Cambridge. Timothy, hi.
Hi.
What was on your mind with the budget very quickly?
I know the Republicans are going to tear it up, and they've already said they're going to write their own. But the question is, are they going to try to meet with the governor in the middle, or are they going to trash his and come up with their own, and we're going to have a political battle on our hands?
Great question, Timothy. Sean, how does this compromise work?
I don't quite know how this ends. I mean, one way that it could play out is that Republicans just pare down the governor's budget until they're okay with it. They send a budget to his desk that's, I mean, $1 billion or more smaller than the one that Evers sent to them. And then they give the Evers the option of, you know, making some line item vetoes and moving on, and or it gives Evers the option of vetoing the whole thing and forcing them to come to the table at that point. So I don't know how it what he introduced yesterday is probably so far from what Republicans are going to be able to support that I'm not sure quite how this process ends, and I'm not quite ready to predict that.
And John, how do counties and municipalities around the state base their own budgets off of what passes in the state legislature? How do all of those interconnecting pieces work?
Well, local governments rely heavily on the state for shared revenue. Intergovernmental aid that comes from the state. So a third of local government budgets comes from the state. To put this into perspective, basically all of the shared revenue that the city of Milwaukee gets from the state is it's a little over $200 million. That's roughly the size of the Milwaukee Police Department. So if the state were to, Governor Evers is recommending, I think, a 2.5% increase each year in those state aids. So, and they've been frozen. These aids have been going down over the past 10 years, starting with Governor Doyle. So there's some relief headed to local governments in Governor Evers' proposal, but it's a big area of spending, and my guess is that there's probably going to be some cuts in those compromises with the Republican legislature.
And John, as we wrap up here, what area of spending do you have your eye on? Are you watching very specifically as this budget takes form?
Oh gosh, I'm looking at all of the moving pieces, but I think primarily, if I'm going to look at one thing, it's the driver of the budget. It's the largest part, and that's healthcare spending. So, is the state going to follow the lead of 35 other states across the country and expand Medicaid, BadgerCare Plus?
Well, John, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
John Kavari is an associate professor of political science at UW La Crosse. And Sean, thank you so much for coming in, being our guide.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, and we've been looking at the governor's first budget season. And you hear it on the morning show. You're with us on the Ideas Network.